Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Anthony Curtis, publisher of the Las Vegas Advisor and Huntington Press. Most of the discussion will be about the new format changes in the LVA website, but also we're touching on several listener questions because Anthony has a slightly different perspective than either Richard and I do. So a third voice can be interesting. Anthony Curtis, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
It's good to be here once again.
Okay. First, a question from a listener sent to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. A player is considering moving on from blackjack counting to shuffle tracking and ace sequencing. He wants to know from Richard and Anthony if they recommend the QFIT CV Shuffle software from Casino Verite to help in this endeavor. Richard?
Well, I'm not familiar with the software. I've never looked at it, but Norm makes good software, so I would think the software is probably good, but I would not waste my time trying to learn how to shuffle track or ace sequence because the shuffles that you're going to run into the United States are not conducive to it. I mean, the games would be so rare where you could actually use that skill. And I think a lot of people think they have an edge and they don't, but they don't have a way of monitoring that. So because they're trying to play these shuffles that just, in my opinion, shouldn't be played with either of those techniques. So the vast majority of shuffles in the United States are two pass, and maybe there is a handful of people that can get an edge with those techniques on a two pass shuffle, but I think there are probably 10 times or more than that people who are actually playing a losing game when they attempt to try to shuffle track it. So the hundreds of hours you would spend learning it, I don't think is worth the time investment.
Yeah, I think I agree with Richard on that point. You know, most of the sophisticated strategies in blackjack, people only go partial. They go halfway or even not that or three quarters of a way, and that's usually not enough. Shuffle tracking, extremely sophisticated. And I never even got into it because I took a couple looks at it and I decided I would play with guys who were good at it instead of having to figure it out myself. Now, in terms of the software, Casino Verite, as far as I'm concerned, is the cream of the crop for blackjack software. I'm not as conversant with it as I used to be. I haven't had time to use it, but every time I've ever wanted to do something with software, I could either do it with that or I would call Norm and say, does your program do this? And he would go, absolutely. And I just think it's state of the art in terms of what's available off the shelf these days. Certain programmers can code their own programs that were their own software that will do more things. But in terms of what's available to the public, I don't think there's anything in its league.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But as I say, I haven't looked at the shuffle tracking part or the ace sequencing part of that program. So
how would you have, you know, Arnold Snyder did the Shuffle Tracker's Cookbook. And I mean, that's always been the thing that I think, you know, we publish that now. We didn't originally. Huntington Press does now publish that. But have you seen anything better? I mean, Blackjack Blueprint's got some things in it by, Rick Blaine. It's got some shuffle tracking stuff. But it seems like Snyder's Shuffle Tracker's Cookbook is still basically the top of the market.
Yeah,
for that.
It's really the only thing out there, and there is no good book on ace sequencing.
Right.
There's one book out there that's bad, but there's nothing good on it. So
which book is that?
I don't even remember the title of it. I just remember that it came out, I don't know what, in the 80s or early 90s or something.
Ace sequencing for losers.
Also hard, and I know this from not at all personal experience, but I was having dinner with Richard and a bunch of other people with this lady who was the ace tracker on the team. And she said she would get such huge headaches just getting in there and doing it. And it was extremely complicated to do ace sequencing.
It reminded me of playing in chess tournaments, where you have to be so focused mentally for a period of hours, and at the end, it's exhausting. I mean, you know, my partner and I, when we would play, we would go back to the hotel room and just, you know, be mentally exhausted because you can't, there's no respite. You know what I mean? You're doing mental work for a long period of time, and it's tough. But as I say, the problem is the games aren't out there anymore. Now, for somebody who has the skill, it's great, especially if you travel to foreign countries, because you never know when you're going to walk into a casino somewhere and suddenly there's a really easy shuffle. Then it's great to have. But to spend the hundreds of hours trying to learn it in the hopes of finding a game, you know,
Yeah, I don't know what it's like out there in the field, you know, playing those games. I do know that friends of mine who travel the world tell me that that's where they find their games. They find their games overseas, that they're doing things other than counting cards or hole carding or, you know, whatever it is there for. Normal forte would be in the United States. The sequencing and shuffle tracking games seem to be outside the U.S., as you say.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. In my blog a week ago, published by LVA on the gamblingwithanedge.com site, I called it You're Not Ready Yet, and a man tried to hire me as a mentor, and I basically told him, learn a couple games, make sure you practice at least 30 hours in 1 week in a casino, and after that, if you're ready, come back and we can talk. The same guy, I called him Joe in the article, so there's no reason to change it now. He's considering going to a new casino city to visit some relatives. He decided to contact a casino there and ask if he can get some RFB if he sends along $250,000 in front money. The casino, of course, fell all over itself, offering him goodies if he posted that much money. Joe wants to know, among other things, is there any chance he'll not get his front money back if he ends up winning and the casino barred him?
No, not in the United States. They're not, well, I mean, it, maybe if it's some weird Indian casino in Michigan or Wisconsin right. or something, but no, he's going to get his money back. But one of his other questions, and this is just unbelievable, that...
Yes, he wants to know if he has to provide his real name and social security number.
Yeah, I don't understand how you can think you're taking the profession of gambling seriously and not know that you can't send somebody $250,000 without giving them your real name.
I'll be wearing a brown jacket when I come in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, yes, you do have to give them your real name and social security number.
But see, this is kind of interesting. When you go back in this question, him wanting you to mentor him or wanting a mentor in some areas, you don't want a mentor to learn the rudimentary aspects of games. Those you should be able to learn on your own by reading books and by practicing and doing it the old-fashioned way. And that's where you really get rock solid at it and play, you know, a little bit at small stakes. Where you need the mentoring is all of the nuance that comes later. How do you get the money down? How do you get money in and out? What are their choke points? Where's the tolerance? You know, do I want comps or do I want anonymity? You know, these are the sort of things that you want mentoring for. So I thought your original answer to him was real good for that reason. And he kind of shows that was a good answer based on these questions right here, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's almost, he needs to read Gene Scott's stuff. Gene Scott's Frugal Gambler, and she has a new version of it out now, is pretty basic stuff. And it's more basic than most of our listeners are going to go for. But this guy needs it at that level because he's missing a few key points.
Well, first of all, this could be a pig's fly moment with Bob Dancer recommending a Gene Scott book, unprovoked and unthreatened. That's amazing. I just got done. We just got that book back, the new one, Frugal Gambler Casino Guide, and I agree. I mean, from a starter's, we actually put on the blurbs on the jacket, potentially the best beginner's gambling book ever. I really believe it is. She hits so many, and it's not just for beginners. It moves up. It doesn't go into expert, you know, Bob Dancer winner's guide type tutelage. But for a beginner, absolutely. That's where you should start. Read that. Go from there. Then go to the higher caliber stuff, the bigger guns, for sure.
And the other book that I think beginners should read is Comp City.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, I think, really the only advantage they're going to have at all is in the comps, and the more they know about it. And people say to me the book's out of date, but the concepts are not out of date.
No.
It's still the same concept.
Absolutely. I mean, the concepts in Comp City are so strong. And even though, you know, some of the numbers have changed and some of the way they look at things, they've gotten more sophisticated. But the interesting thing about Comp City, by Max Rubin, by the way, which was, you know, probably the book that put us on the map, that put Huntington Press on the map, even though we were already publishing Peter Griffin's Theory of Blackjack and his second book, Extra Stuff, but that was for a very, very small audience. Now Max Rubin comes along and writes Comp City, which was just an absolute, a classic in gambling because of the way those concepts are put forth. And there's so much expected value discussion in there that it doesn't just apply to comps. It applies to everything, the way you should think of things, the way you should look at how much you're expected to win or lose based on the speed of a game or, you know, the casino's edge or your edge. And all of these comp ideas still are still relatable. Plus, I'll tell you what, it works both ways up. As you're coming up and you're starting to get better and you're betting more and you're, you know, you're going into this business, if you're going to make it a business, the comps are important. Later, when I was playing for years and years and years, and I kind of saw the writing on the wall that I was going to be out of it because of getting too well known, wanting to go into publishing and so forth, I was able to play another 3-4 years of just doing a comp game. You know, I'd go to a game where it was essentially break even with a 1-2 or 1-3 spread, a 6x shoe of some sort, reasonable penetration, and play simply for comps. And I was in my 30s and just having a ball, you know, taking girls out and taking them places and having the whole trip played for. And I was playing, I knew I was playing mostly a break even game. But, you know, that's where the whole comp game is so strong. It can be used in so many different, you know, aspects during a career.
Well, and back then, it was easier to get cash comps. Right, so you could play a break-even game and get $600 or $800 in airfare, you know, from the casino for maybe 4 hours of play. So you're making $200 an hour, and some guys then would they just couldn't stand the idea that they weren't spreading enough to make money, so they'd end up getting barred.
Right,
but I'd be like, you know, here's a game that's worth $200 an hour if you just don't. You know, cause them to put you on their radar.
And so many of those things still exist.
Yep.
I mean, I talk to guys all the time who tell me about their airfare plays and everything else. I go, they're still doing that? Really? I mean, to this level and to this extent? And some of these guys who are real moochers, you know, they're double and triple dipping them and everything else. So, I mean, certainly all those concepts are most, I'd say 90% of the concepts in Comp City are still very, very valid.
Yeah, and I was thinking about, you know, our guy who wants to send $250,000 to the casino. Your question should not be, do I have to give my real name? The question is, how much are you going to pay me to show up? And how much airfare are you going to give me? And right. What about a loss rebate if right. I'm sending in $250,000?
Yeah.
Not like, do I have to give you my name?
Yeah, if he's going to get that sophisticated. You know.
I mean, but I get the impression that he wants to send them $250,000 and then basically not play. And get an RFB. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's not his plan. But.
He'll get away with a little of that. To you know, for the just to answer the question specifically, he'll get away with a little of that. I mean, they're not going to keep his money. They're not going to say, well, you know, we gave you some comps, so we're going to keep $250,000. You know, they can't do that.
They may charge him for the room if he totally stiffs them, but and so only give him back $249,000. But.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. He's only going to be out to a maximum of what he consumed, you know, essentially, probably. So it's a pretty risk-free play, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to what game he'd be playing that would be... He would
yeah,
need
right.
that much
what
money.
Game would you need $250,000
for? I'm going to play quarter video poker. All right, different subject. Another email from a listener. A card counter playing uncarded. Was backed off from several casinos in the Gulfport Biloxi area of Mississippi. When he went to Harrah's Gulfport on a comp, where he does play carded, as soon as he showed his card at the blackjack table, they wouldn't even sell him chips. They backed him off of blackjack, but didn't cancel his comp room. He wants to know how Harrah's picked him off when the other casinos didn't have his name, and also wants to know if he's still able to collect comps and stuff at Harrah's.
Well... How they pick you off is, once they bar you in one place, they send your picture around to everybody else. So when you went in to, you know, play your video poker, they see your picture and they go, oh, that's who this is. That's one way. Another way is that you may be in one of the databases, like OSN, which is the Oregon Surveillance Network, or Griffin, or Biometrica, something like that. So this is why I recommend to people... don't play video poker in the places where you're going to play table games. And don't stay where you're going to play table games because you could get thrown out of your room in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that other than I've gotten to know a few surveillance guys over the years, and boy, they're really buddy-buddy. I mean, those guys, they're real cowboys, most of them. I mean, some of them are really cool. Cellini was great, you know, I mean, but most of them are, they're real company guys, and they're really good friends among one another. They have really, you know, good systems as technology has gotten better and better, and they communicate. They're, you know, they're pals. They want to, they, you know, quid pro quo. You help me, I'll help you, and, you know, that's what they do.
Insofar as, is he still able to collect comps and stuff at Harrah's? I'm assuming the answer for now is yes. You know, Harrah's let him stay, and he'll find out. To book a trip through a host.
What did they tell him? They told him he couldn't play
blackjack. But he could earn points at video poker or something like that. Yeah. So if he wanted to become a 7 stars at video poker, they will let him know clearly when that's no longer true. So if you're a Harrah's player, you're going to get offers in the mail. So try to book one. And if whoever you try to book it said, no, that offer has been rescinded or something like that, well, that'll tell you what you wanted to know.
Yeah, and I would not let a lot of free play build up on the card.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, people want their card to build up. Don't let the card build up. Cash out, get your stuff out of there. But I mean, I'm a perfect example of that. I'm pretty much 86 in terms of table games. I'm not allowed to play table games because I'm too well known from television and things like that. They think I'm magical. I can walk in, touch a game, and, you know, take money out like an ATM. But I mean, that's fine. They don't want to deal to me, then they don't have to deal to me. That takes the onus off of me of having to do any of that crap. But I can play video poker to, you know, any degree I want until they get fed up with that. Or I can bet sports. I can get comped and use comps, even though they know who I am. They've come up and talked to me saying, you know, how you doing? You know, I know you can't play the table games. You know, you're welcome here. It's fine. You know, everything's an individual case by case as well. But I would say probably, yeah, he probably still can.
Yeah, but when you give examples of you or me to a lesser extent, it doesn't translate to somebody who's not in the press. They handle people who, years ago, I wrote an article of Don't Play at the Tropicana, part 1 of 2. And the next week, I won't tell you what the name was, but it was a follow-up. And for some reason, today, the Tropicana wants nothing to do with me. Can't understand that. Mm. But other casinos don't want that. So if they do back me off, and that definitely happens, it's done politely, and so I have no recourse. And the same with Anthony. If they, you know, backed him off of everything and ticked him off, they don't know what kind of revenge he's going to take out. I'm just saying, now, Anthony's not a vengeful guy, but they're not sure of that.
That's true. But I'll tell you what, I've said this on the show before. The guys who are the real nits, the players who are the nits. By nits, I mean the guys that just pick and take pot shots over and over and over again. They're the guys that are going to get known for that, and they're going to get no quarter. Some of the guys that I know that get away with it and get away with it, they're just charming. They're charming, and I don't mean that they talk them into it. I mean they just roll with it. If something doesn't go their way, they don't sit there and stomp their feet and say, "Give me that extra $50 or $100 or whatever it is." They know that moving on to the next is enrolling with it is going to pay more dividends in the end. And I've talked to casino people who are managers and owners and things, and they say the same thing. That guy, I will not let get away with the damn thing. That guy, I tolerate because he's a nice guy. He's fun.
Yeah, actually, we had a guest who did a couple of shows named Small Cap, who was a card counter at the highest level, betting as much as you can pretty much bet. And when he got barred, he was really nice. He'd shake their hands and tell them, "Hey, look, I know you're just doing your job," and you know, and yeah, it goes a long way. You get away with
the classic. More. The classic one is when you get like in a bar where there's free play, where everybody knows everybody. And I mean, I'll give everybody a great tip. There's a bar in town called Home Plate. Great place, great food. It's over on Warm Springs, close to I-15. South Point. Yeah.
It's on the I-15. It's between Las Vegas Boulevard and Dean Martin.
Right. Now, every Sunday, they have a $20 match play. I mean, you don't have to do anything. All you got to do is be a gambler's bonus guy, go in, play $20, and you get a $20 match play. Every so often, you know, I go in there because, A, I know the owner, I like the place, the food is good, and so I'll try to go on a Sunday, and I'll play the match play. Why not? Every once in a while, it doesn't click up. All right, you tell the bartender, it didn't work. Now, I've seen people pitch a fit, and this turns into a gigantic negative. Me, I go, don't worry about it. You know what? And I'm welcome. And again, for other reasons that Bob says, but I've seen it happen on other levels too. You just got to have some decorum in some of these situations where you're getting the best of it, you know, out of their hide.
All right. We got another email. This one actually is a type of a first. A casino operator wants our opinion on something. Seems they're going to be replacing their casino chips and wants to know whether to go with the clay style or the ceramic style. I have no opinion on this. Richard, do you?
This is a really bizarre question to me. First of all, I didn't know they were still making the clay chips. Right. It makes me think this is a really, really small casino. I would be worried about counterfeits with clay chips. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of baffled that he would be asking us this question.
Yeah, I have no opinion. I guess I would probably go which one costs less. That's about all I can think on this one.
All right. Let's talk to our guest.
But wait, I would just like to say,
yes.
I would like to encourage more questions from the casinos, because I think that would be interesting, actually, for our listeners, the kind of questions that the casinos would like answers to.
That's great. You just got a question from a casino and you blew them off, essentially. So.
No, I mean, I wish I had a better answer, but yeah.
That last part was an attempt to unblow.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, let's talk to our guest who's been talking all along. Anthony Curtis and Las Vegas Advisor are not official sponsors of the show, but they might as well be. Our studio is in an office room at LVA, and the gamblingwithanedge.com website is part of LVA, and Anthony's been willing to fill in at the last minute more than once when a guest cancels. If that's not somewhat of a sponsor, I don't know what is. Anthony Curtis, welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I think you've already been welcome, so I'm going to unwelcome you there. All right. Now, you've been promising for some time that a new LVA website is coming soon. Well, last week you rolled out at least part of it. What is this all about?
Well, thanks, first of all, for saying part of it, because I think that's kind of the key thing. 5 or 6 years ago, you know, we decided that we needed to upgrade our website, which was running on Cold Fusion as its base code. It was kind of starting to fall apart after all these years. You know, it's always, we got into the game very early in the mid-90s. That's why it was built in Cold Fusion. But we, over that time and putting good content on there, we were able to build up a very good site in terms of traffic and word of mouth and reputation. But it began to become an issue in terms of how it was performing. And it was slow and it was clunky and on and on and on. So we embarked on this almost 6 years ago to upgrade it. And I made all these proclamations, and I opened my mouth and said, it'll be here soon, it'll be here in 5 months, it'll be here in 3 months. And we ran into problem after problem. And part of the problems were with bad developers, part of the problems were, you know, anybody who's ever put together a website knows how these things pop up. Our biggest problem was we tried to convert what we already had from Cold Fusion to the new codes, PHP and various others that we're using now, and we should have started from scratch. We just had a huge website, 6,000 plus pages that they were trying to convert. No one could get their heads around it. We went through five developers, 6 years and five developers, and I won't even tell you how much money. I mean, you want to talk about being a square? That's the squarest I've ever been, you know, the mistakes I made there. I finally got to the point where we hit a really great developer. His name's James Brzee, Georgia Tech grad, you know, Ramblin' Wreck engineer, you know, that sort of thing. Was recommended to us by the programmer from videopoker.com, who is just happens to be named Thor, you know, the god of programming. So, you know, I knew this guy was going to be pretty good, and sure enough, he brought it in. But we didn't say a word about it, never mentioned to anybody that we were going to release it because we'd done that too many times over the years. Finally got around to doing it last Monday. We're actually very happy with it, although it's got so many, you know, growing pains and opening pains, and people are freaking out, and people are not happy, but they're wrong. It's a really, really good site. It's going to be, in the end, it's going to have so much more going for it than the old site, and it's going to, LVA is going to be better than ever, I think.
The old site seemed to get hacked.
Yeah.
There were people from, I don't know whether they were China or, well, actually Russia's the latest cyber threats in this political climate. They seem to have your number. Will the new site be more immune to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything about the new site is new. You know, I mean, it's completely different. That old technology we had, if we didn't have a really good sort of guy to come in afterwards and clean up, I don't know what would have happened to that site. It was just too vulnerable. People could get in through this old code, and they stopped doing things for Cold Fusion. So you couldn't update to stop new attacks and things like that. We had a SQL attack a few years ago that literally lopped 1/3 off of maybe 600-700 question of the days. You know, that's one of the cool things. We've been doing this question of the day for 4,500 days now. And as part of this thing, we opened it up to, you know, it was only open to LVA members, people who had paid for membership and all. Now it's open to the complete public. And this is all part and parcel of this whole thing we're doing. And yeah, in every area, what we're doing, it's immunity, well, not full immunity, but it's resistance to all of the cyber attacks, it's speed, everything. Everything is updated. It's, you know, it's what we spent 5 years trying to make happen. Not to mention, I mean, the content that we're putting together, that's where Gambling with an Edge started. I don't mean your show, but the Gambling with an Edge blog, that was all part of, that will go into the new site. And we have several features like that that are both up and in process right now.
Well, I know one of the concerns for people was the forums. What's I know you hate the forums.
Oh my goodness. I mean, yeah, it has been an unbelievable experience. I mean, finding out what an evil character I am because, you know, how bad I am because we didn't bring the forums along the way people wanted us to do it. Now, first I'll say this. Anybody who's going to try something like this, get ready. Get ready for backlash because the world hates change. People hate change so much. There was a right when I had to send around to all of our people when these nasty emails started coming in, I had to send around a quote by Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein, and it was basically, there is nothing more abhorrent to a human being than change, and that's what we're getting right now. And we didn't like I've had so many bad experiences with message boards because you get so many trolls and you get so many people in there who just want to take over. And, you know, they're doing it in anonymity and they can say whatever they want. They can be nasty and they can divulge secrets and they can be better than you. They, you know, some of them are so eloquent in the way they write and it's very hard to keep them at bay. So I was like, that's it. We're not going to do this. You know, the new site's going to have comment areas everywhere. And that's the way it's going these days. They don't have message boards. They have comment areas where people talk, you know, say things after an article. The last minute I said, geez, we got so many people that use the forums. So let's bring it over. And we had to do a last second fix. We did it in like 5 days. And it's really, it's very kind of, I don't know, it's very junior to what we had before. And before it wasn't very good. So what we have right now is very, very cursory is probably the best way to put it. Now we're going to fix it. We're going to make it better, but people can't. I mean, it's just amazing. I sent you guys one of the emails I got. It had so many words in there. I had to look up two or three of them and all of them meant that I was a jerk.
I'll trade you email someday. I think I got that one beat. On bobdancer.com, before they started to be, my articles were published on LVA, they were in the casinogaming.com, which is sponsored by the Las Vegas Review Journal. Mm-hmm. So for about 4 or 5 years... are not currently available on bobdancer.com. Is this new system going to allow that to be fixed?
It absolutely can if we can retrieve them from the RJ. So that's something that I still haven't done, and that's on me. I should have done that before we did this launch, but so many different things were happening. You gave me a name, actually, a few months ago, and I never did follow up on that, but I will. If they have those things, if they're accessible, then yes, absolutely, 100%. We can both retrieve them and display them. And hopefully we'll do that, because there's just a wealth of stuff in there. There's some tremendous articles you did way back then.
Well, part of I'm glad you don't, because I get to recycle them, and nobody notices that I actually wrote that same thing 8 years ago. Can you do it from Word files? I have Word files on all of them.
Yes.
Is that a relatively easy or not too labor-intensive?
It's not too bad. It's not too bad. And so, yeah. So I guess the answer to this will be almost 100% that these things will show up on the site, and probably within a few months as we're adding things now.
You mentioned that the new Gene Scott book just came back from the printer.
Yeah.
What other books are coming up?
Well, the other one we got, along with Gene Scott's Casino Gambler, The Frugal Gambler Casino Guide is the name of it. I get it all mixed up with the other Frugals. We took over Bryce Carlson's Blackjack for Blood. This is a book that, boy, I'll tell you, I read every book on blackjack when I was coming up except Bryce's book. And the reason I didn't read Bryce's book was because he had this, two-level count, the Omega 2, and I wasn't going to change. I was using the Houston APC three-level count, and I was either going to go back down to a single-level count like the high-low, or I was going to stay where I was. So I was like, what else can Bryce Carlson say that other people haven't already said? Now, I owned the book. I thumbed through it, and whatever, and I saw, this looks interesting. But until I picked it up and really went through it, I didn't realize what a really good book this is. And that's why I decided to publish it. The books that we now do, we're picking up lots of books from the outside. People who, this book was published most recently by Wong's Piety Press. They're no longer publishing, so it was there for us to take. Another example were the Cheating at Blackjack books that we combined from Dustin Marks. We look at these books, and we've had a lot of people bring us their books and say, do you want to publish mine now? We only take the ones that we think are really the top of the cream of the crop. And when I read through Bryce's book, I was like, man, this is a very, very good blackjack book. Did you ever read it, Richard?
Oh, yeah, it was a good book. I mean, I, very much like you, I wasn't going to change the count I was using. I mean, I started with high up two, and then I went to high low. But it was a really interesting book. I mean, yeah, and... Yeah, it was still worth reading.
And it's like Comp City. We were just talking about Comp City. It's still pretty valid in most areas. And when we redid it, we did rush it back to press. So we didn't even call it a new edition because it had run out. Its press run had run out. But we did go through it, and we switched out two or three chapters. So we didn't call this a new edition, but we've actually, the book that I got had something about some computer software he had that doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
So, we took that out. We did an update, and we updated things all the way through. But it's really a fine book, and I'm real happy to publish it.
The thing about blackjack is that the material's the same, right? I mean, the basic strategy is the basic strategy and how to count. So it really boils down to how good a writer is the guy who wrote it, and what kind of personal stories does he put into the book. So...
Yeah.
That's what made, I liked the Ken Houston books because of his stories about playing.
Yeah, Bryce was, the thing about Bryce Carlson is he is an active pro. And I mean, two to three decades worth. And I mean, this is a guy who's done it and gotten away with it for a long time at good levels, at high levels. He continues to play. I know through this process, he said, okay, I'll get you that next week because I'm going on a blackjack trip this week. And, we didn't get to be super good buddies that I know everything about him, but I do know that he's the real, the real McCoy in terms of playing. And it really comes through in the writing. You read the style of certain of these guys and you go, wow, I know you did that,
All right. We're talking to Anthony Curtis. We're going to have a few more questions for him. But first, we need to take a break for commercials. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else has. In April, from Monday through Thursday, throughout the month, you can earn free buffets. Play 300 points and swipe before 2 p.m. and earn a lunch buffet. A total of 600 points is required for dinner buffet whether you already picked up the lunch buffet or not. Buffets are good Monday through Thursdays, do not have to be used on the same day earned, and they all expire on May 4th. The free video poker semester is finished for now. My best guess slash hope is they will resume the first week in August. While that's earlier than usual for our fall semester, Bonnie and I are going on a cruise the first week of October, and we don't want to break the semester in the middle. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the game. The game of the week is 100 Play Draw Poker. 100 Play is just like Triple Play, 5 Play, or 10 Play, only more so. Often on 50 Play or 100 Play machines, you can play any number of lines and still get full value for the Royal Flush. At the option of the casino, however, you may have to bet a minimum number of coins to play. 100 Play very much lowers the variance per line of the game. That is, compared to a dollar single line game, a penny 100 Play game for the same $5 total bet has less than 10% as much variance. Another key factor is there are no strategy variations as you go from single line to 100 Play. And checking the pay schedule is key. However, as many casinos offer 100 Play games at a lower pay schedule than they offer the single line games. Okay, Anthony, on the new website. I was reading one of those who's going to be on our show next week, a man named Romes, said when he looked at the website, he's getting these messages saying Microsoft needs to be reinstalled. Your Windows 10 needs to be reinstalled. I'm assuming this is a temporary, not quite fixed yet, and that's all going to go away. But do you know anything about this?
No, I don't. Actually, that's the first I've heard of that. And we're getting, you know, we're getting complaints of all sorts, you know, valid complaints and invalid complaints. I don't know about that. I mean, could that be his own? That could be on his end?
Well, anything's possible. He posted that on the wizardofvegas.com. So I can show you the original post.
We'll look at that. I'll look at that right after the show. You know, we'll see what we're getting a lot. What people are seeing is a lot of this kind of venom that's coming out is that the new site has been absolutely engineered to be monetized, meaning to up our ad revenue, to allow us to do affiliate deals and things like that. So we're getting certain complaints about, well, you've got too many ads. Well, that's okay. That's the way it goes. But we're also getting complaints about the nature of some of these ads. Some of these ads look different. And we've been getting people telling us, you've got malware. These ads have malware. They do not. You know, some of them, this is what ad companies do now. They make them glow and stuff like that. And they look lousy. I mean, we literally told them, we say, look, we don't really want these kind of ads on our site, but some of them are going to come through. And people go, this is malware, and the point is it's not. This site is 10 times more secure than the original LVA was, that's for sure.
What kind of guy are you? You want to make money off the site?
You know, Richard, that's what I'm getting. I'm getting, yeah. Like, what kind of a carpetbagging, you know, mercenary are you? Like, what do people think that you can sit around and create content that they want to read, you know, question of the day every single day of the year with all this research where we pay for that, and that they can just come every day and have forums and do things. If we don't make any money, we can't provide that. And people don't really understand that about books and music and everything, any sort of intellectual property. You know, all the stuff that happened with Napster and music, if Napster had been allowed to operate, musicians eventually, if they couldn't make money through concerts, and some of them would say fooey on it, the state of that art would go down or go away. People aren't going to do, some people will do it for love, but they're not going to mass distribute it for nothing. They just won't. So yeah, certainly LVA, the biggest difference in LasVegasAdvisor.com now is that there are some more ads. And I say that, you know, I do that unapologetically. And our traffic has taken a huge dip since we opened, but that's the way it happens because it takes a while for Google to get you graphed in and everything else again. It's also because some people are, you know, they're unfamiliar and they're staying away a little bit. But all of our financial metrics are up. So meaning we're already making more money than we were on the old site, even with the problems. So that's great. Now I don't have to bug you about, but here's the funny thing about the forum. Yeah, I knew there was something I was neglecting. One guy said, okay, I understand people have to make money. But he goes, this is ridiculous. He goes, every single page here is selling something. Every page has a shopping cart. And I'd already explained this, and there was a sticky up there and everything else, but that last second fix that we did, the only place we could place it was in the store. So the forums are in the store. So if you come out of the forums in any way, you're in Shop LVA. So yes, there are shopping carts everywhere, and you know, it's not like that on the site, but it is that way on the forums.
Well, good. Actually, the forums on gamblingwithanedge.com, I'm on the ones related to my blog, I get...
These are comment section.
Yeah. Comment section. It's not quite a forum, but it is. And so anything related to my blog, I get an email about. Sometimes it says, please moderate, meaning, are you going to allow this to post? And sometimes... before I get a chance to moderate it, Anthony's already said, sure, go ahead and put it up there. But what's interesting to me is often the comments are about an article that I posted 3 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago that somebody's finally getting around to reading, and they're commenting now about...
But they're not commenting on the article itself. They're putting it on the latest article.
No, they're not.
No,
they're finding it and they're commenting there. Which just shows you that site is growing and more people are coming and they're going back through archives and reading things and commenting appropriately where they're supposed to right there. That's what our whole plan was for this thing, is comment boxes to keep people on topic in the appropriate spots. That's what comment boxes do as opposed to forums where people can say, I want to talk about Obamacare. You know, it's like, okay, but not here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the perfect example, what Bob just brought up. You know, I read those things every day. Some of the comments, they're so good. The conversations, the back and forth are so good. There's some give and take. There's some arguing, sure. But it's not this craziness that you just can't control. And that's the difference between a forum and comments. And that's why Gambling with an Edge is so cool and getting better and better as more people discover it. And they're commenting way back on things you've written, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah, and now I get notified when there are comments on the show. Do you get notified of that as well, Bob?
No, I could ask, and I probably should ask.
Yeah, because...
I know who to ask.
I do respond. I mean, so if people put a comment on there that has a question or something, I do read every one of them. I do go and respond, you know, if I think there's something to respond to. And Bob would as well if... So we'll start getting you notified to get the comments as well on there.
Yeah, some of the commenters, the people who are putting things up, really know their stuff. I mean, you read some stuff, you read some of their answers and some of their contributions to this, and you go, boy, there's a lot of smart people out there that nobody knows their name, you know, and it may be just that we do know them and they're using some kind of alias on there, or it's somebody completely new who knows that they can make a comment that nobody's going to know who they are, and it's fine. Plus, we're moderating it. I mean, it's civil. It's civil and it's right. Look, I've gotten some, I hate munchkins and I hate dancers and I hate Curtises. There's no value in that. It's not that we don't, you know, we're so thin-skinned that we can't hear that, but we're not going to put that up because nobody wants to read that stuff.
Yeah.
So we moderate it and we watch it and we make sure that there's good, solid information there. And I'm just, to be honest with you, I'm thrilled at the direction that particular blog is taking.
We don't normally talk a whole lot about upcoming guests, but we have a couple of upcoming guests we're taping the shows within the next month. I'm not sure exactly when they're going to air. One is a lady you've all heard about. She was, she worked with Phil Ivey at Borgata, Crockford's. In other words, she was the lady who would read the back of the cards. So she's going to be on our show. And looking forward to that. Lots of questions about how that went down and interesting what she's willing to talk about and what she's not willing to talk about. Another one is an author named James McManus. He wrote Positively Fifth Street, which was about the first 25 years or so of the World Series of Poker. And recently had a book called Cowboys Full, which I didn't even know about until Blair Rodman on gamblingwithanedge.com wrote a blog about it. So read it and told Richard, we should get this guy. Richard goes, yeah. So found his address on the internet and invited, and he accepted. So he's going to be on at least twice on Cowboys Full and Positively Fifth Street. And
another show that we have coming up is that I'm really excited about. I don't know how much everybody else is, but it's about Bitcoin. I'm really interested in Bitcoin, and I don't know a lot about it, so I want to know more about it. And we have one guest, but I'd actually like to have a second person on that show that can speak more to the subject of Bitcoin for internet gambling. You know, the guy we have on knows a lot about Bitcoin, but not so much about the internet gambling part. So if there is somebody who has a lot of experience with that, you know, send us an email, because I'd love to get somebody else on that particular show.
Well, these shows that you've got coming up are going to be fascinating. I've met McManus a couple of times, and he's a very interesting guy. You know, he's been around it, and because of his cachet as a reporter, you know, he wrote for New York Times Mag and all of that. He has a lot of – guys like him and Michael Kaplan have a lot of leeway to do things and talk to people that is, even some of us don't have. Some of their contacts are just amazing. And of course, you know, Kelly, who is the woman who worked with Ivy, she's amazingly, you know, forthcoming about stuff. You know, from everything I've seen, she's talked a lot in articles and things. And from all accounts, I mean, this woman's just a genius at what she's able to do. I've heard some tremendous stories about her, so I'll be looking forward to those myself.
All right, Richard, how do people here get our old
How do they get a hold of us? First of all, we welcome your questions. You can send them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com, or you can tweet them at me at RWM21. You can get the show delivered to you automatically every week at gamblingwithanedge.com or YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. I want to encourage people to get the show from gamblingwithanedge.com because of the comments section that we've been talking about today. I know we have a lot of listeners who use YouTube, but it's great to get involved in the discussion, and so the best place to do that is gamblingwithanedge.com. Oh, and for an archive of all the old shows, you can find that at bobdancer.com.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much, Anthony Curtis. Go out and hit Royal Flushes, everybody. Good day.